Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Welcome to Slab Fire Radio.
Jeez.
Should I start over?
Okay. No.
No.
One take. We do this in one take. Push through.
Okay. Well, it's episode 547. I'm one of your hosts, Mo.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly.
And I'm Adriel.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Hi. And aren't you going to say Kyle's off? Harvesting something, or
I think he was protesting protesting for the rainforest. I think he was trying to stop them from cutting down so many trees for palm oil. I think that's what he told me.
Ah, okay. That seems like something he would do.
Yeah.
Palm oil. He's like something what he would do. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right. This week I will get us started. I have a pretty good list, almost an Adriel worthy list.
Awesome.
Yeah, I made an order from MDT. It was actually my first one. I was just going to buy external fore-end weights for my rifle, but I was on the website and I was looking at the Sendit level that they have and ask me if I need this level. No.
The answer is always yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so your dick will fall off if you don't have that level.
So I ended up ordering it, and I got it already. And I have to say, it's pretty neat. Like with the lights going on and stuff, it kind of not kind of it forces you to be level because you can't unsee those lights. Like it's like nobody when you're on target and you're just seeing them flash at you when they're not, you know, when it's not green. And yeah, so it's pretty cool. I'll try to show you on the rifle. I don't know if I've ever shown this, but this is the Italian rifle I mentioned, the Victrix. This is a 22, mm-hmm. obviously. And then I got the level there on the front, which you can see kind of going.
Yeah, it's really lightweight.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually weighed it. It's about 17 pounds. So it's not that. Well, people are getting into the 20s. So 17 is not.
It's relatively light.
Yeah, exactly. So
ish,
yeah. So so I installed the level, which I love. I've been practicing with it, and then I put on the you can see the weights. Yep. Now the issue with the weights was this chassis is pretty narrow, and I didn't realize that. So when I put it on, guess what? The bipod didn't slide by it on the ARCA rail. So my friend Louis, you can't even see it, but he grinded the insides of them and created a channel. So now they...
For the weights, you mean he ground the weights.
On the inside of the weights. Yeah, not on the chassis.
It's not on the chassis. I'm going...
If you could see
it. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's on the inside. You can't even tell it was done unless you're like looking underneath the rifle. Mm-hmm. And now obviously the bipod passes nicely. Underneath. So that's that. Hold on.
That's awesome.
Let me get this beast off me.
Nice looking rifle.
Thank you. And if you ask me why I bought it for two reasons. One, I like the look of it, and two, because it's Italian. So
mm-hmm. Exactly. Just like you.
I'm shameless, so that's why I bought it.
We like the look of you and you're Italian.
Thank you. And you know what? It actually shoots well. I don't shoot well, it does. So that's that. And then I went to the Montreal Ski Club, which is 19 minutes from my house with my friend Martig. It was my second time there. And we shot five stand, and it was my first time ever shooting five stand. I had only done skeet, and I had kind of tried sporting clays. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that I love five stand. So
really?
Yeah.
I like it too, but it's just... I'm not good at it yet.
Oh, I didn't say I was good at it. I said I loved it. Like, it was fun.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did three rounds. So my best round, I won't mention the two bad ones, but my best one, I did 13 of 25. So I was pretty happy. Yeah, I was pretty happy with that. And I like the variety. I guess it's similar to sporting clays in that they're, you know, coming from all angles. And
yeah.
And I like how each, you know, stand is a menu of different shots. So it was my first experience with the game. I kind of looked up the rules the night before to kind of know what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they were super nice there too. It's a beautiful club, actually.
Yeah.
So much so far that I actually ended up registering. So I became a member on the weekend too. So I'll be going back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be going back to do more five stand. And they also have a pistol and rifle range as well. And they do skeet and trap there. I think the only thing they don't do is sporting clays because they don't have a forest for it or field for it, whatever you want to call it. So that's that. And then I had applied for my Form 6 from the ATF to travel with the firearms from the U.S.
Yep.
I was okay for the actual rifle, so I'm going to be able to take this one in the summer to matches. But I had tried to put my pistol on there. Now, I had no plans on going to any pistol matches in the U.S. right now, but I had put it on there, and then they got back to me, and they said, you need your the ATT. And I said, yeah. And then I was reading on the IPSC Ontario forum, and sounds like it's kind of a new thing that – or new people are asking for this. But so they're getting – they're making you give them an ATT now. So you have to actually be signed up for a match. You have to have a reason for going, not just get it. So I didn't end up doing it, but I have to say the guy from the ATF was super nice to deal with, and to the point where he sent me back my approved form, and all he did was cross off the pistol stuff and approved everything else. And I didn't even have to redo it. Now, you know, he could have been difficult about it and said, nope, fill it out properly and send it back. But nope, he sent it to me as is. And
what was the turnaround time?
Not even 2 weeks this time, maybe a week and a half. Okay. So this is my third time getting one. So I think the first time was like 4 or 5 weeks, and the second time was maybe 3 weeks. So I think, you know, as you get a history with them, they probably process it faster, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Well, I do know that the first one I had with them, it took a while, but you're right. The next couple. Yeah.
Based on the first three that I got, it's been shorter each time. So
yeah. Okay. I got to work on mine. Mm-hmm.
So then I registered. So now I had registered for a bunch of matches. This weekend in Stittsville will be an ORPS rimfire match. And then what Stittsville does is they do the regular monthly match in the morning. And then after that, they do like a sort of CRPS light, like a five stage lighter match. So it makes it worth it because then you go there, you know, you go there for, and you end up doing 10 stages and it's a full day, which is nice.
Yep.
So that's this weekend. And then I registered for an IPSC match in Ottawa at the RA Center, which will be in 2 weekends from now. I registered for another IPSC match that's early April at the Lernardier Club in Joliet, Quebec. That's what they're going to be, what they call a super two. So closer to a level three, it's going to be 9 stages. So it's going to be fun. And then speaking of level threes, the first one of the year in Ontario is in Peterborough. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Nationals is going to be as well later in the summer. And the registration opened up for that recently. It was a bit of a disaster. Like the website got crushed when people are trying to register first night. So there were some issues with it, but I guess it all worked out. We're just waiting for squatting, like to actually see where we're squatted. I asked for Saturday, but we'll see. And that was pretty early registering, so I should be able to get a spot for that. And we kind of, Martig and I are both going to that, and we're kind of doing it because I don't think the Nationals is going to happen, because getting in on the Ontario side is extremely difficult. And then with Quebec, with me, I would have to go through Quebec, and I think there's a lot of interest too. So I haven't heard back yet if I'm getting a spot, but I'm not holding out hope. Mm-hmm. Then I ended up dry fire practicing for for the PRS Rimfire and the IPSC stuff. For PRS, I've been just doing a lot of low positions because that's the one I struggle with the most. So I've been working on that. And then for IPSC, I've actually been practicing with my Bull 1911 because I'm going to shoot classic in the last match. Just give it a try. Now, the only issue I had the few times that I used it in the matches is I guess my grip was interfering with the slide. So I've been working on getting my thumbs, you know, tucked in a bit better and out of the way. So
yeah,
hopefully that'll go well when I shoot in a couple of weeks.
Mo better?
Yeah, mo better, exactly. And I think that's it. So it's a good list, right?
Yeah,
very good list. Yeah.
Thank you.
Lots
now,
of stuff on
now,
there.
Now Adriel will top me. Go ahead, Adriel.
Can I top that?
Yes.
Let's see. I did a Sherwood Park three-gun match, fish and game. At that, I was using a Raven, Lockhart Tactical Raven. And it was good. It was really good. It was really reliable. And it ran great. And I forgot my pistol mags. Where do you think my pistol mags were? sitting on the rack over there.
Oops.
So then a buddy of mine, who actually was one of the guys at Spectre Ballistics or Mag Dump, he's like, oh, you can use my mags. No, I can't because I have a magwell on mine and it needs
the special
the base pads.
Smaller base pads on it.
Ah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, but I have a whole nother shadow here. I'm like, okay, thanks. So I used his shadow too and his mags. And
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's which, friendship.
Same thing. Same thing as well. He's like, only factory ammo. I'm like, I got factory ammo. No reloads. fair. You know.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of any other people shooting the Raven with success?
Yes.
Yes.
Taylor Reich in Calgary is using it to shoot, and he's like a pretty high level IPSC rifle and three gunner.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
And he's using it instead of the RDB. Speaking of the RDB, a buddy of mine was shooting his RDB and it started doubling on him again.
No way.
They have this habit of the firing pin like eroding or breaking and then start slam firing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh,
fire.
Perfect. I brought my WSMCR because I just wanted to bring it back up just in case, but no, the Raven's working well for me. So that was his first stage was that RDB where he was having problems. Then he used this, my MCR, which I ran at a match. Oh, that would have been last year. It didn't run very well for him. It didn't run very well for him at all. Not at all. So he ran that for two stages and he's like, bah! And then he used the Raven too. And then it was all good. So this was having problems cycling. It was really, really rough right there in the middle. And I'm like, man, I wonder what that is. Like that's when it's hitting the hammer, but I don't think that's it. It wasn't it. This back plate and these recoil spring guides are not in alignment anymore. Somehow they're either bowed out or bowed in or something. And when the bolt carrier gets to the middle, it's no longer smooth. It drags. And that was causing short stroking and it was causing failures to go into battery. Which annoyed me because, you know, I don't want to be giving my or loaning out like crap to buddies and that kind of thing. So I ordered a Raven.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I ordered the Raven. because the other one was a loaner, right? That Platinum. Man, they're trying to buy one of those things is so confusing. Oh my God. So they've got like gold, silver. And the features on them. And then they have, gold platinum. And then they have a new silver out. I just want something that's as close to my AR as possible. And that's what, one thing that these do really well because they're DI, right? Direct impingement. So you can use your Gucci AR barrel, AR4 end gas tube, all that crap, bolt even. That you just need to use their BCG, use their firing pin because their BCG is a little bit longer. And if you want the rear charging handle, use their rear charging handle or use the side charging handle. I think I'm going to use the side charging handle. So I thought that the Gold Builders package was going to do it for me. It doesn't come with a bolt release, but you can hack in a bolt release from an AR. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not scared of a Dremel, and I'm happy doing that. And I talked to Taylor. I was texting him on Instagram. He took too long to respond, so I bought the gold package, and he's like, no, you should get the platinum. It's the minimum required. So I emailed Lockhart. I'm like, yo, can I change my gold to platinum? Or even, like, I'll buy a whole rifle. You've got some rifles, some Blem rifles here. I was looking around, and people are saying, like, yeah, it's like 6 to 9 weeks before you get your stuff. I'm like, oh, man, that's so long. I'll be halfway through the shooting season by the time it gets here, and I've built it and whatnot. So I asked about one of the Blem rifles, because those apparently ship faster because they're actually in stock. A lot of this, like, the website is kind of a piece of crap. It's really hard to tell what's in stock, what's not out of stock, or what parts are required or not required, or it's really confusing. Anyways, he said no. No, sorry. Your order, which is not going to be filled for another 6 weeks, cannot be changed. That's that.
Really?
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah, which I kind of expected. Like, they've kind of got a reputation for, you know, slow shipping and that kind of thing, and unwillingness to change. So whatever, I'll just wait, and eventually that gold one will get here. Eventually. Yeah. I have decided to make it restricted. I'm going to use, I have a 16-inch, like, Gucci Sporter AR barrel, Rainier Arms Ultra Match. I think it would cost me like $450, and it is amazing. And I'd rather use it and the rifle be restricted than it be non-restricted and me use some piece of crap 18.5-inch barrel that I don't really want. So I'm going to do the process of verification and whatever to make it restricted.
Have you done that before?
No, but I got a buddy who's a verifier, so I'm not scared of doing that.
Okay.
Some other stuff I did. I've been running bullets out on my belt for, I think, 2 years now, and I don't like it. And I've been lazy around changing it back to bullets forward, and I finally done it. So what I mean by that is, when it's on your belt, bullets out is like that, and bullets forward is like that. Mm-hmm. So I have changed my pouches. Let me just mic up them there. Yeah. I've changed them now so that they're bullets forward. They're kind of tight on the belt. And I mean, a 3-in-3 gun, like, your belt space is at a premium, but who cares? You just go from one to the next one to the next one. Bullets out, you can't really sweep to the side. You have to go hunt in and grab, like, the exact mag you want. And, I've misgrabbed a couple of mags, and I wanted to fix that, so I went back to bullets forward.
I've always had them forward, and I keep them tight. I keep them pretty tight, and I don't find it's an issue to grab the next one. You know,
you can fit more with bullets out. Not a concern for IPSC. More for three gun wear. Okay. I've also got to carry AR mags, and I've also got to carry shotgun shell holders, like lots of shotgun shell holders. So, anyways. Pulled those back. What else did I do? I've been ordering a whole bunch of stuff, mostly for PAL courses. One of those is this Savage 99 in 303 Savage. There's parts of it that look really nice and parts of it that look goofy AF. So, like, I think, like, the trim forend on there, sexy AF. The lever on this thing, pretty ugly, and the hacked on butt pad. You could see they tried to do the grind to fit, but they didn't really know how, and they started scratching up the stock. Anyways, it was very cheap, and that's what I need for a PAL course gun. If you've never seen one of these before, there's your safety.
Mm-hmm.
Boop. I don't see a lot of these out here. This one is in 303 Savage, which is hard to find. Hard to find is a nice way of saying it. It's almost impossible to find. But the guy who sold it to me, he's like, I think I got a couple of boxes. I'm like, yeah, throw those in. And
oh my God.
Super clean.
Yeah, for the audio listeners, these are antiques. they're old enough that they've got the stamp on the primer. The primer itself is stamped.
They're older than me.
at that round nose. Oh yeah, these are quite old. And then he also threw in a box of modern stuff, which is nice because I'll need to make some dummies, and I'd like to shoot a couple rounds through it for a review for it. It's kind of neat. Like there's quite a bit of technology. That this rifle was made in 1900 or 1901. I don't quite know based on the serial number, because I checked two sources and they gave me two different answers. 1900, 1901. Compared to the other lever action rifles of the time, it can run pointed bullets, so you're going to have better ballistic coefficient. It has a round counter on the side right there.
Really?
So many interesting things on it. Yeah. Internal blind box magazine, and it's a rotary mag. So as you feed it in there, it's rotating, fitting those five rounds in a very trim package, very trim. Like a lot of guns, you can't put your hand like right around the receiver like that. Whereas with this one, it's very easy. But it's quite ugly. Yeah. I think it's ugly. You don't think so?
I think it's so ugly that it's cute.
It could have some charm to it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's Kelly's favorite rifle. Okay.
Yeah, you sent me pictures of that. I'm going, bleh.
The Winchester Wildcat.
It'll be.
I've already owned one of these things before. Yeah. What's that, Kelly?
It's fine for one of your courses, and it'll be fine.
Oh, it's more than fine. It's so good. So, I mean, all you got to do is pull that guy out there.
Yeah.
Pull out the firing pin, which is super easy. You can take this, get this thing, push it forward, and then just pull it off, and it's done. There. It can't fire. That's all you need to do to make to completely disable this thing for use in a PAL course. And you get the advantage of, bolt hold open. Drop the mags. Oh, there's a couple different ways you can do that. Side thing there, you can do the front thing. The safety is easy to use, and yeah, locks open, and it's super light too. I'm carrying like five guns to a case, so if they're all 7-8 pounds, it gets a little bit tiring. This thing is, I think it's 4. So it's good for that kind of thing. I have re-disabled my other course gun, my Ruger PC carbine. This is one of my course guns for a semi-auto. Okay, so this is the factory one, right? Everyone's seen one of those. They're fun. They're reliable. How about this thing right here? This is the ATRS chassis and the ATRS and Protégé carbon fiber forend for this. Now, this is something you don't get on a Ruger PC carbine. There's your magazine release. Very ergonomic, and it's very light to use too.
Yeah.
And the magwell on this thing is also fucking huge. So you just like, somewhere in there, and it's going in.
Mash it in.
Yeah, mash it in. This is my buddy's Chris's rifle. And he's Gucci'd it up with everything you can get for the PC carbine. He's got the M Carbo brake on there, which is very nice. Yeah. The forend, yeah, the full size carbon fiber forend that ATRS makes, the chassis that they make that takes the grip and the AR stock. That's a Volkortzen trigger there. He's got the fancy dancy bolt release right there. Or the bolt hold open. And then, of course, the magazine well. And probably a million other things in here that I have yet to find out. Very nice. Very nice stuff. So I was prepping parts for the Raven build, which I'm probably a little bit too eager on that. I probably have a little while to wait before it gets here. But one of the things I was thinking is, I should make my short barrel straight pull rifle. There it is.
Oh my God.
This is about as short as you can, not about, this is 0.5 of an inch bigger than the shortest you could possibly get a collapsing stock manually operated firearm in Canada. 26.5 inches. So it's quite small.
Yep.
And I liked it so much. I'm like, oh yeah, I like this. Oh yeah, I should get that 300 blackout barrel. I had ordered it from another retailer, but he didn't order it for me, didn't get it. So I decided, I'll look around and see if they got one in Canada. And they did. Red Deer Shooting Center had one. So sweet. I asked a buddy of mine who I just saw the other day, hey, can you grab this barrel for me? 300 blackouts in Calgary. And he's like, yeah. So that's coming for this. And it's going to be just a little bit longer. And that's so that I don't have to run a break or anything ridiculous on it to meet that OAL. And it will be legal for hunting. This will be okay for hunting big game deer, this tiny little guy.
Nice.
I've got a push button cutie cup and a push button cutie cup on the front. So this is going like this up a tree stand. So small.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
It's so small and light that, it's going to be completely out of the way. Really nice for any kind of like tight shooting or anything like that. Yeah. Maybe if I bring one of my nieces or nephews hunting, maybe they'll use that, right? Use the baby gun. Don't aim it at me. That's not a toy.
No, not a toy.
It looks like one. It feels like one. I think I have toy guns that are heavier than this thing. Anywho.
Probably.
Yeah, so I ordered the 300 blackout barrel for that. Wrote a couple of articles, put out a video, and then just today I ordered some 303 Savage and 3030 dies because I'm going to need to refurb like some of the 303 Savage ammo as it gets beaten up during PAL courses. So I wanted to have the dies so I could refurb it, recrimp it, put a new bullet on there if I needed to, and keep it running for events. Awesome. That's it for me. How about you, Kelly?
But haven't been on in a couple of weeks. So just Richard asked if Wildcat or Henry Lever action for the Maple Seed. Neither. So that's my official statement on that.
If you had to pick one.
I don't want to. Either would be fine.
Either would be fine. The Wildcat is going to be like, as long as you use the Wildcat mags, it's easier to load. The Ruger 10/22 ones are kind of hard to get in.
Yep. Lots of things in the past couple of weeks. I haven't been on 2 weeks. So specifically, so I did shoot my first IPSC match this year. Horrible on it. Probably the worst I've ever shot in an IPSC.
What made it horrible?
Yeah, my shooting.
Could you be more specific, ma'am?
Yes, my shooting. It was pretty bad.
Lots of mics?
More mics than I'm used to.
Okay. Yeah.
It was indoor. Don't typically shoot indoor matches. Patrick Roy, he's one of our listeners and contributors, and he did a really, really good job with, he was the match director and planning the stages. I worked half of it and then I shot the other half. So it was a fun filled day. It was a lot of fun. I truly enjoyed the day. Did I shoot well? No. As I said, it's probably the worst I've ever shot. It just shows that I need to get out shooting more. But I did place well for my category and age group. I was the only one in it. Yeah. So did well there. But no, it wasn't great, but I still had a really, really good time. So I'm glad I went and I got to shoot with some friends and I got to also help out the club too. So it was lots of fun.
How did you do with it from the stage planning sense?
I worked the morning, so it helped me with planning for the afternoon.
Okay. So you kind of drew and knew where you were going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I tried something different than everybody else for one of the stages. So you know how that works out.
Less than good.
Less than good. Yeah. So I also actually signed up for a couple of things that are going to be happening in the near future. I offered my services for intake at the club. So we're going to be opening up the wait list, I think, in the near future. So the first week of April, I'm going to be going to the club and just with the new shooters, doing the orientation with them. And then we have the Lower Trent Valley, the Women's Day. I signed up for that. I'm going to be there for that. My calendar is quickly filling up. I had a shoot boss call today with the Ontario shoot bosses. So we're planning our Ontario events. What else is going on? Oh, yeah. I totally came on tonight. I said, better come on because I cheated on everybody last night. That means I was on the other podcast. So last night we had Dr. Terry Bryant, or as most people know her, the CFO for Alberta. We had her on the She Shoots podcast. Oh my goodness. She is fantastic. Love lady. I wonder if she can adopt me.
Are you trying to get some Nambus? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, she's really... She's really interesting. Just love her. She had some great philosophy on how to get people involved and how to, save some of her guns. She's such a smart lady. We're thinking about having her on again, but come on and talk about her collection. She's got some really cool pistols, rifles, shotguns, everything. She's a collector, so she's a really cool lady. So if you haven't, listened to the show yet, go over there and have a listen. It's posted, or go and watch the YouTube. What else? Just your usual. Every week there's something different that's going on, whether it's shoot boss call. One other thing. So we will be doing something soon with a call out for the CCFR Gunning Girl calendar for 2025. We're supposed to have a call tonight. We had to postpone it till next week. So that's going to be happening too. So watch for that. And just want to say hi to Becky and Jason. Jason and Becky said wave, so I'm waving.
Yeah, Becky and Jason.
And that
there's some people on Facebook talking about that match right now.
Best non-foot club in Eastern Ontario. Nick Adam. Nick Adam is planning the event. It's going to be sponsored by the CCFR Women's Group. And all of us ladies, gals, whatever you want to call us, we'll be there helping out. We'll have probably over 100 people that day. Just love that club. It's a really great club, Lord Trent Valley. And I really like it because of how active the people in the club are involved in the gun community, doing these events, doing whether it's IPSIG, CRPS, ORPS. They host Maple Seeds. They do a lot for the community. So it's really good to see. So, yep, that's it. I think nice. That's it. I'll just stop talking.
Okay. Thank you. Not for the stopping talking. Okay, we'll get into upcoming events. We have the Edmonton Boat and Sportsman Show, which I guess is starting tomorrow and going to the 17th.
This weekend, yeah.
This weekend,
yep. Yes.
The next HGG Firearms Training PAL course is March 23rd.
Going to hear something funny?
Yeah.
Our PAL course in June is already sold out.
See?
That's good.
People want it.
Yep. Well, the last sign up was like, oh, my wife's getting her PAL. Should she get her RPAL too? I've got a bunch of handguns. Could she go to the range with my handguns?
I'm like, yes.
Oh, yeah, you can get a lending ATT. Yeah, go
exactly.
For it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah. So there's even more use cases that I wasn't thinking of that apparently people know.
People could take black badges. All they need is
If you're the only, if you have a bunch of pistols and you're the only restricted licensed person in the house, then and you're older in years, then it's probably best to get a younger family member involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, we have the Chaz 3-gun match on March 23rd. Where do they sign up for that?
Practice score. Like all good things. They're all on practice score.
Then we have the Toronto Sportsman Show, which is going to be this weekend as well, 14th to 17th at the International Center in Mississauga, Ontario. Our very own Dave will be at the RA booth. So check him out. Go visit him. Say hello. And then in the news, you want to talk about your big fundraiser?
Yeah, well, it was last year, but we just did the check delivery thing. And
how much was it this year?
It's quite a bit. Quite a bit. It was $14,000.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
So we gave 10 grand to the Stollery Children's Hospital, and we gave 4 grand to the Leduc Hub, which is kind of like something for homeless people, where the Stollery Hospital is for children. It's like a children's hospital.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for everyone there.
Good stuff. Yeah.
You do that every year, too.
Yeah. Great. That's a yearly thing. This year, we're going to do it in September, a little bit later than usual.
Okay.
Then in the next item in the news, I like the way you wrote this. So there was a mass shooting near Ottawa in the Barrhaven area, which turned out to not be a mass shooting. So it was came out reported right away that it was a mass shooting. And to the point where even when I was the first stories I were reading, they made it sound like it was random that the person did, you know, it ended up being somebody that lived at the home. I still don't know the full connection with that family, but he's living at the home. But they made it sound like just a random person killed a bunch
of people. So he was somebody who was living in the basement, not somebody just living in a basement. He was somebody who was known to the family. They're new to Canada, Sri Lankan. He was somebody that has come over to actually go to school. He's Sri Lankan as well. And was living with the family, was known to the family. It was not a mass shooting. We did hear from the police services, Ottawa Police Services. They announced it that it was a shooting, and then later they came out as it was a stabbing. It was a horrific event.
Yeah, it's an awful story. Yeah. And it's an awful story whether a gun is used or a knife is used or a baseball bat or whatever the object is, right? But it seems like they seem to. Certain people seem to take glee in the fact that a gun is used even when it's not used.
So to the point where they wouldn't correct their information.
That's right. Yeah. That's another troublesome thing that they don't actually correct it right away. They wait, they get pushed into doing it eventually.
They did retract that.
Yeah.
Polly did. Singh didn't.
No.
Here's Singh's tweet on it. Still live. Readers added context that they thought people should know. This was not a shooting.
This was not.
But it's still up on Jagmeet Singh's Twitter or X or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he doesn't matter what he thinks. He's the leader of a clown party, so they will never win.
You know what? Let's talk a little bit. I know we're not a political show, but right now the Trudeau government, the Liberal government, is at the lowest it's ever been. Ever been. And the latest polls for Kingston, I mean, Mark Gerritsen, he's a twat waffle. Yes. But
well said.
You could put a clown in a red shirt and they could win Kingston. We have not had any other party represent Kingston and the Thousand Islands since Flora McDonald. And that's how I remember her. And I was actually a kid when she was in power, when she was the MP. So that was a really long time ago.
Which queen was in Britain at that time? Was that,
it was still Victoria Queen Elizabeth, or? But she was able to get around and everything. So she was,
Queen Sally.
She wasn't even a, I did have a look at the latest polls for Kingston, and the PC party or the Conservatives were out. Front, NDP as well, but the Liberals were in third place from polling. I'm going, this is weird. I was thinking about it. If Jagmeet was smart right now, NDP is polling really, really well. And non-confidence vote, why not become the opposition? Win some.
Yeah, the Liberals could sink so low that they would become the official. I mean, they wouldn't have much power, but which is wonderful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I think Jagmeet wants to become the royal opposition. The official opposition.
Official. Yeah.
Yep. If he was smart.
Possible.
Oh, it'd be wonderful to see the Liberals finish third. Just wonderful.
No, I mean, that happened with Ignatieff, right? They got their ass blown out, and the NDP were the official opposition.
But with this group, it's really like, it would be really nice to see them fail miserably.
I don't think they're in a situation they can recover from. So the main issue that most people are worried about is affordability. And yep. I don't see anything that the Liberals can do in the next 2 years that will solve that. It's an unrecoverable position, what they've put themselves into.
So today, again, we're a gun podcast. We're not a political podcast. But today, Trudeau just announced that the federal carbon tax is going up again as of April 1st. There was a call for him to cancel it because of where Canadians are with their affordability. And he said, no, we're not going to do it. Yeah. This is long term. You are so short-sighted if you do want to actually right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not in touch with Canadians and where we're at with things.
The NDP will still support him on that. And I think the reason why it's still valid to talk about politics a little bit is because this is our timer to when we potentially get our guns back, or when we start to get our guns back. Because once the CBC are in charge, it's probably going to be a year or two, or maybe even three, before they first finally like get to it. With the long gun registry, I remember they got into power. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And they took their sweet time doing that. And that, like, even Trudeau, like, their first mandate, they had two big pieces in their platform. They had election reform and they had weed. And it took 3 years for weed, and election reform never came in. So, still going to be like, 2 years until the Liberals are out and the Conservatives are in. And then at least a couple of years until after that.
Yeah.
That's why I got the Raven, because I was like, man, I could, like, yes, my AIRs are better, and as soon as they're legal again, I'm using them. But if it's going to be 3 or maybe 4 years, I gotta have something more long-term reliable than this guy here.
Yep. That's a good point.
Yep. Especially we can always hope and pray.
Yes. Hope and pray.
Jagmeet, do us a solid. Just saying.
Help us out, buddy.
I don't think he's our buddy.
No, he's not.
No, he's
the enemy
not.
Of our enemy is not our
And if I haven't been clear, I can't stand the NDP. Like, as a party itself, I can't stand it. You know,
not the one that they have today. If they were the one more ideological had. About like workers' rights and unions and that kind of thing, I still wouldn't like them. But at least I would respect that they have a viewpoint and they're sticking to it. But
they're woke. Current.
It's a party of make believe and wishes. It's not real. They can't govern that way.
Dude, the LPC at their policy convention keeps voting for UBI. They like want it so bad. Universal it's like, basic man, this, income. Is, this is some hopium. Sure. Yeah, like this doesn't pass muster on napkin math. Why you keep asking for this?
Sure. Anywho. Wow. Daydreamers. Okay, so we'll move on from that. And our last story was the Toronto Police recommends keeping keys in Faraday cages and leaving them at your front door to make it easier to steal.
I paraphrased that little bit
here. Yes, you did a great job with that.
But the real quote's not that far off. If they're going to kick, so they're offering like some door stops to keep people's doors from getting kicked in, and Faraday cages so people can't get their fobs cloned. And the last thing that they're asking for is like, well, if they're going to kick your door down anyways, you might as well just leave your car keys at the front door, because they're probably going to have guns and they'll just shoot you over it.
Wow, that's a great way to...
Kind of a defeatist attitude.
Yeah, kind of a... Yeah, just lay down and... Wow.
And that's where we're at.
And that's where we're at.
Don't punish them. No, put your key in a metal cage so that they can't clone it, and leave it at the front door, because if they want it, they're going to take it anyways.
Should you like offer them a hot beverage when they come in? You know, tea.
I mean, coffee. They might stab you if you don't. So
yeah, I think that would be nice. Maybe a stronger drink. Mm-hmm. If they've had a tough day of whatever.
A road pop.
Okay, then. It's a good news segment, I think. Very informative.
Yeah. Come on in. Let's talk about things. By the way, did anybody know that you're here? Nobody knows. Okay, let's go.
All right. We'll get into new cut stuff brought to you by Bullseye North. I need a new boomstick. Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. free shipping over $250. Some exclusions apply. They now have $70 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get the first access to the hottest deals.
And they got Umarex BB guns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have played with this. Some of these are kind of plasticky crap. The like definitely like lower down on the price point. They're really plasticky. But some of the more expensive ones, I played with this this Glock 19 one. It's pretty good. The controls don't work, but they're all there and it looks and feels great. If you wanted something to like put in a holster and like practice draws with and not wear your regular match gun out, or even have like a little BB gun shooting gallery in the basement and then do your draw and press a trigger off. Press a trigger, press a shot off, take a shot. I don't know. Hit some targets. That would be a pretty slick way of doing it. And pretty inexpensive as well. I wouldn't get the blowback one is a nicer model, but it's also twice as much. And that blowback just eats CO2 CO2 thingies.
Cartridges,
yeah. Cylinders. So I would just get like the non reciprocating slide BB gun because it looks good, feels good, and it will use less CO2. Anyways, just an idea. They got a bunch of paintball marker pistol $479.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the real ones were that much. This is a new entrant into a new
yes. The Type 81 never goes away. It's always the last shipment, but then
The last shipment of the Type 81. Okay, now it's the Type 81M. We weren't lying last time. Yeah. The Type 81M is a modernized from the Type 81. So they made some changes to it. And I think some of the changes are like really obviously better. Like the front sight, they moved it to the front of the barrel to give a longer sight radius. So now it's way out at the end. Great. Nice. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
The rear sight bar. So the rear sight had kind of like this dimple hole thing and then the covered bar on the top. Like
it was weird. Long.
Yeah, it was weird. And they removed that. So it's no longer there. They made the mag release bigger. They put a palm swell on the front handguard. Look at that. Look at that palm swell. Bolt carrier has been blackened for a monotone look, so it's not shiny anymore. Okay, I don't really care. This one's available in a fixed or underfolding stock. Now, the underfolding looks badass, but if you've ever shot an underfolding stock, you'll know they are terrible because you are taking two sharp, flat pieces of metal, and that's your cheek rest. That, and you get a chin rest at best with one of these things. Yep. But they look awesome.
Yeah,
so consider that if you're gonna think about buying one of these. They're $1,200.
Yeah, it's pretty typical for
it, which is a very reasonable price. When these things first came out, they were like $1,000. Now the fact they're like $1,200, like they're not increasing drastically in price, kind of like it.
Yeah. I like the photos that they're actually including because it makes it look like it's pretty badass.
Yeah some pretty nice photos. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Templars are on sale. Crusader Arms Templars are on sale at Marstar. $1,833.
They were $21 before. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, they're coming down in price. But now sales and website and whatnot, aforementioned problems. Otherwise, if you wanted a blemished, yes. So that was just 1,800 that we saw, right?
Mm-hmm.
5.56 platinum. That's a rifle.
And the platinum comes with a top charging handle?
No, you need to add that. And it's
Colombia?
Pucker up. $120 just for the stupid charging handle. Or go with the side charger.
I like the AR top charging
handle. You like the AR? Yeah. Builder's kits, or just a full, and there's their full 9mm. Man, these prices jump around all over the place. This was a totally different price yesterday. Now I got to tell my buddy that he's probably watching right now. There's a $1,660 dollar full 5.56 platinum Cerakote Black in their blemished category. Don't tell your wife I told you that.
Credit card on the ready.
It's not my fault. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, that's an you enabled.
Henry rifles have arrived at several retailers. So if you've been looking for a lever action, several retailers have those. Remingtons are over at SFRC. They're kind of expensive for Remingtons. I don't really consider Remington to be that great of a brand name anymore, but I suppose if you wanted something that was like compatible with a fleet of shotguns, then, you know, so be it. But these are priced. I think it's just Remington, right? I don't know who's making these anymore. If it's the previous company or, oh, that's it. Okay. And then I have noticed some 783s at reasonable prices. I can't remember where I saw it, but someone's got Remington 783s with a scope for $599, $549, something like that. I can't remember where I saw it, but those are out there as well. And that's not the right link. That's not the right link either. Rangeview Sports has the Beretta 1301 done up by Tactical Ordnance for $3,500 as well. So if you're looking for a three-gun or IPSC shotgun that's already built, Rangeview Sports has them.
$3,500?
$3,500, yeah.
Okay.
But that's like...
that would be with the open with the port opened up and the lifter and all that stuff.
Yeah, let me just pull it up here because it'll make more sense to look at. And then that is Tactical Ordnance. That's doing those. FD, there it is. Let me show you guys what's going on with this thing here. Yeah, 3500. It's got the Magpul stock. It's got the much bigger forend there, the mag tube. And the port's been opened up and so on and so forth. Airdus Industries 13-1 handguard, stock adapter, Magpul SGA stock, Nordic magazine extension, enlarged loading port, reduced weight trigger spring, competition elevator, magazine clamp, extended bolt, the logo. Oh, I don't know if that's a feature, but okay.
You got a logo. Okay.
Yeah, a Gucci logo.
All right. Looks nice. And that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good selection of stuff.
Yeah.
More Type 81s.
Just what we need. More Type 81s. And you get a Type 81 and you get a Type 81.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot, like whenever they sell out, the scalpers make bank on Gunpost and Townpost. And yeah, now's the time. If you want to get one of these things, get it right from Tactical Imports because the price will be better and you won't have to pay scalper prices on things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's true.
We don't have a main topic for tonight, but we gave you lots of delicious news segments, so that was good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll get into listener feedback. We have an email from Tony. That's something different. I'll read this one. Evening Slamfire crew, a quick one for tonight, as it was a long rant last week. Also, I don't have enough time to write this one in full. Tony is back in the first person writing. Hope that makes everyone happy. I think so. The hosts and viewers may recall my struggle with Kodiak Defense support. I literally only have a quarter of a year of warranty left on my K9. So I attempted to find Kodiak support again. To my surprise, I see Kodiak has a new support portal now on their website, and I've made a support request via the portal. They should respond in 3 business days, so we should hear the follow-up story next week. I've also attached a confirmation screen here as proof. Shooting season is about to begin in the Calgary area at the BTSA. Check out the upcoming events section on the Slamfire Radio Discord. Thanks and good night. Best regards, Tony from Calgary.
Awesome.
I think I'm going to go to that match. They've got one in April coming up.
Yeah. Thanks for writing in first person. Also, it was nice to say hi to Tony. I was on Discord. Don't ask why. I don't know why either, but I did drop in and say hello to everybody.
How did you end up there? You got lost and...
No, it's my OCD. I got a notification on my phone that, and it was this red blinking light. It just told me, you got to go and clear this out. So I did go in and had a look at my message from on Discord, but I stopped by Slamfire because why not?
So you're going to be a Discorder now or whatever they're called?
A Discorder?
Kelly's going to be our Discord mod.
Yeah, you gotta, no.
The requirements for this position are you need to gain about 100 pounds. I need to just lose all sense of personal hygiene.
I'm on my way. Required. Excellent. Living in my mother's basement.
Wow.
Yeah. No. That's totally unfair.
Cheeto dust all over you.
Yeah.
Kelly, can you say the word actually for me?
Actually.
Oh, that's pretty good. Pretty good. You're getting there.
Wow.
Actually.
Actually. Banned. You're banned. You can't say that. No.
Are we doing YouTube comments?
Oh, yeah. Give me 1 second. Give me 2 shakes of a lamb's tail, actually. I think that's the line, isn't it?
I love that.
One of the things that I didn't talk about while he's looking for that, one of the things I didn't talk about while we did in Guns This Week, the She Shoots podcast, we put out those, well, I posted it on my page. Not sure if anybody saw it, but targets for International Women's Day. So go and take those targets and go and shoot them any day. Nice. But we had an event in Calgary. Listen, okay. So it was the Calgary, the CUSIF group was through the University of Calgary. Mm-hmm. They were doing a Ladies' Day. Lady Guns was going to help out with it as well. And yeah, so they've had to postpone. One of the reasons why they asked people to sign up through Discord, just going to say, probably not the best type of way to sign up, especially for people who are new to shooting, particularly women. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So
it's technology, right?
Stop.
Oh, dear.
So they have postponed it, and they're going to be doing it, I believe it's on the 23rd of this month, and you can sign up through the CUSIF website or the Calgary University website. Go and participate and have fun and shoot some targets. If you want targets for women, just let me know. I can send them to you.
I'm surprised that university people wouldn't be on Discord. It's one of the best chat apps out there.
Yes. No, they had no one sign up. So doing it something a little bit more accessible. Again, this is for people who may not actually sign up through Discord, be sitting in their mother's basement.
I'm in my own basement. Thank you very much.
Yeah. He owns the house, so it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
So in the basement though. In the dungeon. Mm-hmm. Dark and dingy dungeon. Let's see here. Comments. Eddie, Joe Rogan corrected Tom Green on a lot of his firearms misinformation, like how the AR-15 is not an assault rifle. Yeah, Joe Rogan knows more about Canadian gun laws than Tom Green does.
That's interesting.
Joe Rogan doesn't know very much about Canadian gun laws, but he knows more than Tom Green does. And he knows more about guns in general.
Tom Green's pretty much a joke, though, right?
He's a comedian. I should hope so.
Yeah, exactly.
Eddie also says, I recall when Diversity Dave applied to be the host on Slam Fire Radio after Trevor Courage quit the show. It's good to see him back and doing well at the PAL training courses.
Yeah.
Link is saying, I forgot Bullseye had the primers on sale. Thanks for the reminder. Stock up while they are cheap. Also, they had a few deals on other reloading stuff. The media separator with bucket will be very handy. I've been meaning to get one of those. Tony, on the last episode, commented, if the student is awake, it's half the battle. Wick, John Wick. I think we need to see the timestamp there. He's got the timestamp on there, but we'd have to see the video to see what's going on. He's got a question for Runkle. How is a trigger-locked NR rifle considered? If my family knows where the rifle is, but do not know the code of the locks, as in they can access the rifle in its locked state. I mean, it could happen, but it would be locked, right? And they wouldn't have the key or the code to get into it. He's also mentioning, I don't think anyone's crying about small primers. The real demands are on the large primers, especially large rifle. A little birdie told me where I can get large rifle around Edmonton. I don't need them that bad, though. Told me about it.
When you do.
Yep. Any issues with holding zero using this chassis? That's on the Gray Birch Le Chassis Takedown 1022. I no longer own that one, so I don't know. I think that's all of them.
I reached out to I've reached out to Gray Birch, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. I've reached out a couple times since they moved down south. Not a lot of communication, meaning zero communication from them. So,
would you communicate with filthy Canadians if you were in other? Or are they in Florida?
They're in Florida.
Would you communicate with filthy Canadians if you were in Florida? I wouldn't. You would all be dead to me.
Probably.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm somewhere better now. I'm better than you.
I will agree.
I have fun all the time. The hurricanes love us too.
I will agree. They're in a better place. No, yeah. They're not dead. They're in a better place.
Well, though. For their business, definitely.
Yeah. Oh. Income tax. No state income tax in Florida. Could you imagine?
That sounds wonderful to me.
You can buy a house for less than $1 million. What? Hmm. Those exist? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll get into... So if you go to our website, there's a Cabela's and a Brownells link. And you can find that slamfireradio.com. We read them last week or the week before?
Yeah, read them last week.
Okay. So we'll do that next month.
Yep.
If you'd like to support the show, you can do so through Patreon or Player. We'd appreciate it. If you'd like to write the show, you can do so at slamfireradio@gmail.com, and we'll read your letter live.
Yeah. Just want to give a shout out to Tim, who's one of our newest Patreonies. Thanks for supporting the show. Just saying.
We weren't in the shout out section yet, Kelly.
Well, we're in the Patreon section.
Okay. They're just...
We have a new Patreonie. His name is Tim. Okay. So thank you to Tim. Okay. There you go.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Sorry, Kelly. Okay. Speaking of shout outs, Kelly, do you have any other shout outs?
I do. I do have a shout out. Also, again, thanks, Tim. But I wanted to give a shout out to Jeff Risa and the Calgary Shooting Center. Remember, I ordered the Tika TX3. It did come. Came quite quickly. It's a left-handed one. Obviously, I don't shoot left-handed. I purchased it as a gift for someone. So, and I already gave the gift. So guess what? We're not going to actually do an unboxing because I don't have it anymore. But it was quick. Jeff was fantastic. His team shipped it out, threw in a couple extra things for me, which was nice of him. And if you're looking for anything, just go and stop by either Calgary Shooting Center or look for them. By the way, it was the only one available in Canada, and it was he did us a solid and sent it to me, so I wanted to say thank you to him and his team.
They have the cheapest Winchester Wildcats in Canada right now too.
Wow.
Go and patronize them and buy a Wildcat then. That hurt.
Buy your Wildcats.
Yeah. So thanks, Jeff.
Adriel?
Yeah, just for all the guys at the 3-gun match, thanks for making it a great time. There's lots of ROs and that kind of thing. We'd had some fun stages and quite a bit of snow. We actually had to dig out the bay. We had to dig out, like, it was actually kind of nice because I was like, how am I going to stake down these stupid shooting lines? I didn't have to. We shoveled them out. If you're shooting and you're not like knee deep in snow, you're in the shooting area. It was so nice and convenient.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah, there was people there early and we had the stage set up by the time it was like time to start. So it was fantastic that. And then the other thing is people loaning rifles out to me. For whatever reason, I have like a flurry of people loaning rifles to me for review, and I appreciate it very nice. Much.
Yeah, gives you and content, sometimes
it tempts me to buy other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My shout out is to my friend Louie, who helped give my external weights a haircut. So thank you.
Shave and a haircut.
Two bits. That's right. I don't think Adriel knows that.
some sort of Showtime tune?
It's old
timey. Is this from the silent films? Or
yeah,
yes, it is.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Never mind. All right. Okay. Join us on our Discord server. Kelly will be our new moderator, so there'll be lots of action going on there. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Player. Join the CCFR. Very, very important. And see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.